supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of the Almighty Allah. Dear brothers, dear sisters, salamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic of this episode is a question. Why does Allah test us? Yeah. First, we'll look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 8th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 12th of Azar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 3rd of December, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Verses 1, 2, 3 of Chapter Ankabut from the Holy Quran, we're going to listen to.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
ألف لام ميم
ألف Lam Mim.
أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون.
Do the people think that they will be left to say, "We believe," and they will not be tried?
وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ
But we have certainly tried those before them, and Allah will surely make evident those who are truthful, and He will surely make evident the liars.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It's evident that Allah the Almighty knows everything, even the things before the creation of mankind. The purpose of knowledge here is the objective manifestation of the affairs and their external existence. In other words, it is the practical effects and evidences of the deeds, that is, whoever has it in his interior must pour it out externally. The reason of this issue is also clear, because reward and retribution have no meaning unless the inner intentions and esoteric qualities are practically seen in man's action.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا رب
Remember, I start this episode with a question, why does Allah test us? Actually, life is filled with ups and downs, and there are times where our trials seem unending. In the Quran, there are several verses in which Allah talks about the varying ways we will be tested, but He also provides a care package to help us navigate those trying moments. Why are we tested? This is a very common question from Muslims, people of other faith or no faith, so it's important to reflect on it. Lack of answers can sometimes distance people from their faith. If a person doesn't understand why trials happen, they can start to feel life is unfair or even that God is being unfair. But Allah is the just and He is Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. He never wants ill for His servants. He only wants the best for us. Sayyid Baqir al-Qazwini.
If God knows the outcome of our actions, God knows the good doers will do good, the evil doers will do bad. So why did He bring us in the first place? Just take us to the Day of Judgment directly, and the good doers, those who would do good, take them to paradise, and the others punish them. There are two primary reasons. Number one, God brought you to this life and tested you so that on the day of judgment you cannot object. Because if God didn't bring you to this world, and on the day of judgment God would say, you know what? You, let's say Hitler, okay? God would tell Hitler, you're going to hell. Hitler's like, why? I didn't do anything wrong. God will tell him, no, but I know you would have done wrong. It's like, no, I didn't do anything wrong. And he would object. And people would sympathize with him. Right? So God brings you into this life to prove to you whether you're good or bad. So that on the day of judgment, no one can have an excuse and say, God, I didn't do that. Who said I would have done that? Let's say Hitler would challenge God on the day of judgment. I challenge you. I wouldn't have done that. Then we see that the system of reward and punishment would be weak on the day of judgment. But now, after Hitler did what he did, he has nothing to justify on the day of judgment. Killing innocent people, you cannot justify that. And humanity will be witnessing. Everyone in the world will witness, yes, he was a criminal, he deserves to go to hell. So this is one reason.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
On the continuation of today's special, we reach the reasons why we are tested. We were created to worship Allah, and we all made a promise to do so before we were sent to earth. Tests are a means for us to fulfill this promise. In fact, they are a sunnah of Allah. What does it mean? Tests are the means by which Allah distinguishes between us, because they help to expose faith and lack of faith. Allah states in the Quran in chapter 29, verses 2 and 3, "Do the people think that they will be left to say, 'We believe,' and they will not be tried? But we have certainly tried those before them, and Allah will surely make evident those who are truthful, and He will surely make evident those who are false." Again, there was chapter 29 of the Holy Quran, verses 2 and 3.
رَبُّنَا رَبُّ الْقُلُوبِ وَهُوَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ فِي الشُّرُوقِ وَفِي الْغُرُوبِ نُورُهُ يَهْدِي الْعَصَى رَبُّنَا رَبُّ الْقُلُوبِ وَهُوَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ فِي الشُّرُوقِ وَفِي الْغُرُوبِ نُورُهُ يَهْدِي الْعَصَى رَبُّنَا الْهَادِي الْوَدُودِ فَضْلُهُ مِلْءُ الْوُجُودِ عَفْوُهُ خَيْرٌ وَجُودٌ فَارْتَجِي دَوْمًا رِضَاهُ.
Now, what about ways to face trials with a positive heart? Dear friend, believe in your heart that Allah is your aid. Once I came across a patient who was requesting her doctor to prescribe antidepressants for her as she was going through a stressful phase in life. The doctor, knowing the harm of such medicines, counseled the lady instead. The doctor's beautiful words still echo in my mind. He said, "Despite believing in Allah, the reason depression encircles us in stressful situations is because we say with our tongues that everything will be fine, inshallah, but we do not truly believe it in our heart." Imagine if your mother promises you that she will make things right for you. You will trust her because, you know, your mother will not leave any leaf unturned to bring goodness to you. Then how is it that we do not believe in the promise of our Lord, who loves us 70 times more than our mothers? He promises us in His book, not once, but twice. Listen. For indeed with hardship will be ease. Indeed with hardship will be ease. Chapter 94, verses 5 and 6 from the Holy Quran.
The second reason, in order for you to experience that heaven, you have to be qualified. Because only a soul which has been qualified and tested can actually experience that. Let me give you an example. Does anyone know how this nice gold that we see, this neat gold, how is it produced? Anyone? How is gold produced? Because look, those, you know, companies which go and extract the gold from the ground, it doesn't look that nice. No. It looks very ugly. So what do they do to it? In order for you to get pure gold, you've got to burn it. Otherwise, it won't take that nice shape. Those beautiful oysters, right? What do you call them? The pearls. Those beautiful pearls. You need that pressure of the sea, all that pressure to make those beautiful pearls. Diamonds, they have a process. So we see this is a process of what? Purification. How do you purify gold and separate it from other elements? You melt it. And this is exactly the word God uses in the Quran. He says, I've brought the human being into this world to melt him. The believers, they are melted. You get rid of all those contaminants and you remain with a pure soul, like that pure gold. This pure soul is the soul which is qualified to go to that paradise. If you don't go that way with a pure soul, you will contaminate paradise. So this is another reason why God brings us into this life, to give us the chance to purify our souls. That's why the Quran, for example, in Surah Al-Jum'ah, in speaking about the role of prophets, what does the Huwa alladhi ba'atha fil ummiyina rasulan minhum? God has sent a messenger. What's his role? What's his role? Yatlu alayhim ayati, to recite the signs of God. The second one, wa yuzakkihim, to purify their souls. The role of a prophet is to help you purify your soul. One of the joys of a believer on the day of judgment in paradise is the fact that he earned that reward. Let's say 10 years ago, some university would come and will tell you, Abu Ahmed, Osama, Mackenzie, here's your degree. You would get happy, obviously, getting a degree. It's nice, it's a reward. But would you appreciate it? No. But when you spent all those years and those sleepless nights studying and working and you earned it, then you're given a degree. That's the joy, right? That's the joy. God wants you to enjoy paradise at the best way possible. That can only be possible if you worked for it. If you earned it in this life and you went through difficulties and you passed the test. Otherwise, if God directly takes you there, you will not taste that joy. So that's another reason we can add.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special from IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, we continue this topic, why does Allah test us, on the next episode, tomorrow. Till then, we leave you in Allah's blessings. Have a nice time.
Crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, 'cause there is no hope. Just
come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us ponder on how to dress in public as expounded to us by the embodiment of dignity, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. He whose dress is chosen by knowledge will have his defects screened from people.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been narrated from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is about debt and borrowing money and why it's not good. You know, a lot of times we are forced to take a debt, you know, and there's no choice but to borrow money from somebody. But in this hadith, we learn that if there is an alternative to this, it's better not to borrow money from somebody else. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Beware of debt, for verily it is the source of anxiety in the night and a source of disgrace during the day." You know, a person who borrows unnecessary amount of money, he can't sleep in the night, he has trouble sleeping in the night, and you know, wherever he goes, you know, he is disgraced, people look down on him. Imam Ali also said something similar when he said, "Copious debts transform the truthful man into a liar and an achiever into one who is unreliable." Right? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam also has been reported to have said, "Lighten your debts, for verily with little debt comes longer life." Right? Nevertheless, we have been given permission to take a debt when we need to do so. Imam Qadim alayhi salam said, "One who seeks to gain sustenance for himself and his family in a lawful manner is as the one who fights in the way of Allah. But if he is unable to do so, he may incur debt, trusting in Allah and his Prophet in order to ensure provisions for his family." So, you know, taking a debt and borrowing money from others is based upon these hadiths that we've been looking at. It's something that only should be done as a last resort, and it's definitely not the first choice of a person who wishes to better his financial situation. And, you know, there are, if we do decide to take a debt, there are, you know, various conditions for it. Like when it should be repaid and how it should be repaid and what we should do when we are, you know, writing the contract for a loan and so on and so forth. All of these have been mentioned in the various books of Islamic jurisprudence, and they should be referred to when a person takes a debt. Just by way of passing, we should like to add that usury is something prohibited in Islam. It's not lawful. And if somebody wishes to, you know, lend money to somebody else, it's prohibited to, take riba or usury from that person when the debt is repaid. Once the debt is also repaid, you know, the debt shouldn't be given and in such a way that it makes the person feel bad or look down upon. And these are also all of the etiquettes of, you know, debt giving and lending money to people that should be observed at these times. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at debt and the act of borrowing money. In the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we have again, alhamdulillah, some of the students of Sevier International School with us in this session. And before we start the class, let me say hello to each of them. Salam, Hussein Ruhullah, and how are you?
Salam alaikum, sir.
Salam, salam.
I'm fine, how are you?
Oh, thank you. Alhamdulillah, I'm good. Welcome. And Hassan Nasrullah, how are you doing?
Salam alaikum, sir.
Salaam alaikum.
I'm fine, sir.
Okay.
How are you?
That's great. Thank you so much. Welcome. So, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, we really recommend you stay with us till the end of the session. Inshallah, you will benefit and we all will benefit from the verses of the Quran Kareem. So, Brother Hassan and Hussein, today, inshallah, we'll be working on Ayah 58 of Surah Al-Baqarah. And I really want everyone who are listening to us, brothers and sisters, grab your Quran and go to Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 58. Inshallah, we'll be working on this ayah and make sure you stay with us till the end of this session. Before we start, let's listen to this ayah once, everyone.
فكلوا منها حيث جئتم رغدا وادخلوا الباب سجدا وقولوا حطة نغفر لكم خطاياكم وسنزيد المحسنين.
Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, nice recitation. I loved it. How about you, brothers?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. So now I will be reciting and make sure you listen and repeat after me, all right? And brothers and sisters who are listening, please listen, okay? And repeat after us. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا ادْخُلُوا هَٰذِهِ الْقَرْيَةَ فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ رَغَدًا
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا ادْخُلُوا هَٰذِهِ الْقَرْيَةَ فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ رَغَدًا
فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ رَغَدًا وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا
فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ رَغَدًا وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا
وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ نغفر لكم خطاياكم
وادخلوا الباب سجدا وقولوا حطة نغفر لكم خطاياكم
أحسنتم ما شاء الله وسنزيد المحسنين
وسنزيد المحسنين
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. Thank you, brothers. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا دُخُلُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ that Qarya, when Prophet Musa alayhi salam and his nation, okay, were there, and Allah Almighty were telling them that وَإِذْ قُلْنَا دُخُلُوا, when we said, enter this town, that town was Jerusalem, okay? Or Palestine, okay? Jerusalem. And فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شَئِتُمْ رَغَدًا, and eat thereof freely whensoever you wish. Okay? Whatever you want, go and eat, okay? In that qarya, in that town. وَدْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا, and enter the bab, the door, okay? The door of the masjid of Baytul Maqaddas, okay? Baytul Maqaddas, okay? وَدْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا, while prostrating. This prostrating here means while you are giving thanks to Allah Almighty, okay? That has given you a new chapter of life, that has given you like a new like beginning or a new place, okay, to live. وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ, and say حِطَّة. حِطَّة means forgive us, okay? And make tawbah while you enter. نَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطَايَاكُمْ, if you say this, we will forgive you your mistakes, we will forgive your inquiries, okay, and the mistakes. وَسَنَزِيدُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and soon we will enhance the virtuous, okay? We will extend, for example, or expand the thawab, the rewards of those who are muhsinin, those who are the right doers. One thing here I have to mention, in the next ayah as well we have, Allah Almighty told them to say hitta, right? While prostrating, they have to say hitta. In the next ayah we'll read that, unfortunately, they didn't listen to Allah Almighty. They changed the word of hitta to hinta. Hitta to hinta. They said another word, okay? Then Allah Almighty sent them azab, okay? Why? Because they are changing the rules of Allah Almighty. Whatever Allah Almighty says to them, they do not listen. They do whatever they want. So, of course, they deserve punishment. قلب بالحق تعلق وبغار حراء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ. Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
That's my point. The explanation of this ayah, it's too much, okay? We don't want to enter. We really want you to refer to the Tafasir book. Now, the Tajweed rules, which are our main topic, we'll focus on. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا دُخُلُوا, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا دُخُلُوا, قُلْنَا أَلِفْ مَدْ, right? Yes?
Yes.
And then the next word starts with?
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا دُخُلُوا,
Hamzatul Wasl.
Yes.
The next word starts with Hamzatul Wasl. You remember the rule that when we have Alif Mad, Waw Mad, or Ya Mad, simply Harful Mad, plus Hamzatul Wasl, do we have to produce the do we have to still prolong the sound of Harful Mad? Qulna, because we have to skip Hamzatul Wasl.
Yes.
Qulna dukhulu. Is that right?
No.
We have to skip this mad sound.
Yes.
We have to put it like a short a e u sound. Qulna, not na. Qulna dkhulu, right? Qulna dkhulu. Make sure. The rule says this: if we have harful mad plus hamzatul wasl, here, if you want to skip hamzatul wasl, okay, you want to join the words together, so of course you have to skip hamzatul wasl. So in this case, you do not have to prolong the sound of harful mad.
Yes.
Say them with short vowel sound.
Yes.
That's it. That's the rule, okay? And dal has a sukoon on the top. So it means you have to produce a bouncing sound or kind of tickle it, okay? Tickle it will jump up, okay? So, وَإِذْ قُلْ نَدْ خُلُو, Hassan, read it. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا ادْخُلُوا
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا ادْخُلُوا
أحسنتم. Now the word starts with Hamzatul Wasl. If you start with a word ادخلوا that I said already how to pronounce it, so because the third letter has a dhamma, the Hamzatul Wasl, if you want to start from this word, so the Hamzatul Wasl will be assigned with
dhamma.
ادخلوا, right? ادخلوا. But because you join them together, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا with ادخلوا, so Hamzatul Wasl will be skipped. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا ادخلوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةَ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةَ فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا نُن ساكن plus ها فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا. What rule is applied? Merge, change, hide, no rule.
No rule.
No rule is applied. Why? No rule is equal to idhar. Idhar is applied. We mean there is no change, there is no hide, there is no merge. So it's called idhar. Because ha is from the throat letters. Minha. Haythu shi'tum ragadan. Ragadan. Nun tanween plus. Next word starts with waw. Tanween plus waw tells you. To apply the rule?
Tanween plus waw.
Waw is from your malun letters.
You merge.
Yeah, merge them. The rule, idgham. Idgham with ghunna or without ghunna? With nasal sound or without?
With.
Ragadaw. Read it, Hussein.
Ragadaw.
Ahsan. Ragadaw. Ghain is a heavy letter. Ragadaw. Two heavy letters. Ra, ga, da. Ragadaw. Do it.
Ragadaw.
Ahsantum. Next, wadkhulu. Hamzatul wasl. Skip it. Dal, qalqala. Bouncing sound. Ragadaw. Wadkhulu al-bab. Again, the example of mad letter plus Hamzatul wasl we have. Wadkhulu al-bab. Right? Hassan, do you see that? وَدْخُلُوا الْبَابَ. Now you have to skip that Hamzatul Wasl. You have to say وَدْخُلُوا الْبَابَ. Now we have U sound. وَدْخُلُوا وَأُمَدْ. Two counts, yeah?
Yes.
U, not U. U. So here, because you have Hamzatul Wasl and you skip Hamzatul Wasl, you have to also skip the mad of U sound. Put a dhamma only. وَدْخُلُوا lul, not lul ba. وَدْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا. If you stop here, سُجَّدًا, تَنْوِين, فَتْحَ will be changed to?
أَلِفْ مَا.
أَلِفْ مَا. سُجَّدًا. Instead of saying سُجَّدًا, سُجَّدًا, سُجَّدًا. وَقُولُوا. If you do not stop, if you continue reading, so, of course, تَنْوِين فَتْحَ plus وَاو, you merge them.
Yes.
سُجَّدًا. Okay, وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ تَنْوِين ضَمَّ plus نُون إِدْغَام حِطَّةٌ نَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطَايَاكُمْ. The baby jim on the top tells you, you can
stop
or
continue.
Both are allowed.
Yes.
Both are the same. وَسَنَزِيدُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That's all in this ayah. So there is no other rules, okay? The important rules we just mentioned. Make sure, inshallah, you practice and also listen again to our today's session if you didn't know any of them. So practice, inshallah, for the explanation. We said we didn't have much time, so you refer to the Tafasir book because there are long explanations. Thank you so much. Stay with us, please, in the coming sessions as well. We'll be here with you, inshallah, at the same time. Once more, I give thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools Network. Thanks, Hassan and Hussein, for being with us today. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahiri.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil faraja.
Let's recite the Quran.
a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
هيهات مع ذلك الظن بك ولا المعروف من فضلك ولا مشبغ لما عملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك
Dear listeners, as you were with us with this commentary on Kumail's supplication, we reached this excerpt of this dua. هيهات ما ذلك الظن بك ولا المعروف من فضلك Far be it from you, that is not what is expected of you. ولا مشبه لما عاملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك Nor what is well known of your bounty And nor is it similar to the goodness and kindness you have shown to those who profess your oneness. Imam Ali alayhi salam then continues, فَبِلْ يَقِينِ أَقْطَعْ So I declare with certainty, لَوْلَا مَا حَكَمْتَ بِهِ مِنْ تَعْذِيبِ جَاحِدِيكَ That were it not for what you have decreed concerning the chastisement of your deniers, وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك and what you have foreordained concerning the everlasting home of those who stubbornly resist لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما You would make the fire, all of it, coolness and safety وما كانت لأحد فيها مقرا ولا مقاما And no one would have a place of rest or abode within it. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in this part of the supplication, continues talking about the chastisement of the deniers of the Almighty Allah. Now, as Imam Ali alayhi salam continues describing the fire of hell, he is not disappointed of the mercy of the Almighty Allah. None of the prophets or the infallible imams and those favored servants expected Allah to treat them with chastisement. The Almighty, who has called himself in the Holy Quran as the most merciful of the merciful, the forgiver, the generous, the lover, the holy, the fine, and the relenting, is not what we can expect from such a chastisement. The chastisement of the hereafter is not related to the believers at all. This is what the infallibles knew. It is the bitter fruit of denying the truth. It is the result of enmity with the Almighty Allah. The chastisement of hereafter is the reward of the proud and the sinner. It is the product of wrongdoing and corruption, and it is the result of human deeds and nothing else. That is why the prophets and the imams, the favorite servants, did not expect Allah to chastise them.
And how can the gods of hell threaten him when he calls out to you, my Lord? And how would you abandon him therein when he has faith in your grace to set him free? Alas, that is not the concept of you, nor has your grace such a reputation, nor does it resemble that which you have awarded by your kindness and generosity. To those who believe in your unity, I definitely conclude that had you not ordained punishment for those who disbelieved in you, and had you not decreed your enemies to remain in hell, you would have made hell cool and peaceful, and there would never have been an abode or place for anyone in it.
Thank you, Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So Imam Ali alayhi salam says, مَا ذَلِكَ ظَنُّ بِكَ. Far be it from you, that is not expected of you. Why should the one who is not a denier and an enemy of Allah, while some rays of Allah's unity, belief, love and affection shines in his heart, and be possessed of righteous morality and virtuous deeds to some extent, be chastised? Such a person faces a holy and kind Lord, the one who invites any sinner to repentance in order to forgive him, the one who is waiting and waiting for the repentance to forgive them, the one who calls any broken servant to compensate his loss and any patient to cure him. Someone told a servant of the Almighty Allah, I am polluted with wrongdoing. Do you think I would be accepted? And he replied, woe be unto you. Allah calls his enemies and deniers of the truth. So how is it possible that he rejects someone who seeks refuge to him? The late Ibn Fahd Hilli in his book Uddatu Da'i has narrated, when the Almighty sent Moses to the Pharaoh to warn him of wrongdoing, he told Moses, say to Pharaoh that I hurry more in forgiving the sins and being patient with the sinners than taking wrath and chastisement. So this is the kind of Lord Imam Ali alayhi salam is describing. This is the kind of Lord who has created us and is waiting for us to step only one step closer to him so that he can forgive us. That is why وَلَا مُشْبِهٌ لِمَا عَمَلْتَ بِهِ الْمُوَحِدِينَ مِنْ بِرِّكَ وَإِحْسَانِكَ. If the ones who have professed to your oneness, this is not what you have shown to them. This is only goodness and kindness that we can see the others expect from you. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program, Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion, we have a very special guest speaker, Dr. Hujjatul Islam Sheikh Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Okay, Sheikh Karimi, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of living our sins or our sinful deeds. According to Islamic beliefs and according to Islamic teachings, there is the concept of living the sins. First, give us the details about living the sins, and do we enjoy at all living the sins? Because doing the sins and wrongful and lawful actions for so many people are pleasurable. They enjoy doing it, but living it, does it have any enjoyment or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I believe that living the sin and whether it would bring any kind of enjoyment has different stages. So for the first stage, which might be for the majority of the people, it may not bring, tangible enjoyment for them to live the sin. I mean, living the sins is difficult, and that is why they are rewarded for that. And for many people, committing the sins may bring any kind of enjoyments. So, but for that, we have some narrations which help the believers to come to this understanding that it's much better to abandon and to leave the sins than, for example, repentance. In one narration, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that, yes, to leave the sins is difficult, but to leave the heaven to paradise is even more difficult, which means that, yes, I mean, in the first stage, to commit a sin might bring some enjoyments. But if you remember the fact that by committing the sins, you are...